Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Who do we have left? Britney Spears. Cam Kardashian. Paris Hilton. Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global.
I mean, the lines are blowing up.
Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E.
Look at you!
All right, honey, buddy, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Here, hammer. Hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. Boy, it was powerful. This is a no-win situation. I'll give you a call in about an hour and a half. You know what I mean? I survived it, and I'm at the end of it.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. We are global. President Doofus is going to make a speech. So I have the TV on in the background. I want to hear this guy. This guy is completely nuts, went off the rails. He needs to be in the mental ward. So President Dumbass is going to speak in a little bit.
Dumbass. Dumbass.
But welcome to the show, everybody. It's a bipartisan show, as you can tell. It's Tuesday. That means Mike Bro, your favorite bro, is going to be here.
No, what? This is not a bipartisan show. Bipartisan means that we work with both sides.
Yeah. Well, you know, we try. I mean, you know, stupid is, stupid does. And even the Republican knows,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but you know what? You got to say it in Forrest Gump's voice. Stupid is as stupid does.
Yeah, I know. So President Dumbass is going to give his speech, and when he does, we'll break in. This is so... Ellen, I never heard you kind of laugh before like that. But we'll break in. And we'll see how he's going to humiliate the United States again. So hang on to that. And our favorite bro is coming in. And we're going to talk about politics with Bromo. And again, we're worldwide, and we have a doubleheader today. We have our lovely author, Diane Dungey, will be in our second half of the show, talking about why men are so stupid, ignorant, and screwed up. Can't wait for that segment. This is a great show today.
He's talking about why men are so stupid. He's talking about why women and men are stupid.
The name of her book is called Why Is Marriage So Hard?
Yeah. So it has something to do with both men and women.
Oh, it does. Oh.
Yeah.
Well, stay tuned for that, and so we can say why, you know, people just destroy themselves in marriage, and hopefully with her book, we'll hear a happy ending on that. And so let's welcome our bro will be in. Let's go to our. I'm gonna make coffee. Ellen, you have your coffee?
No, wait.
All right, baby. We'll wait on your coffee. But here's I rarely report this, but here's the reason why President Dumbass is defending himself. It's and why people want to impeach him. People are saying, forget the word impeachment, get out. It's like that movie Get Out. I guess it's a part two, but Donald Trump plays the leading role. Here we go right here. Here's the 11th hour report, why people are upset at President Dumbass. Here we go.
From your newspaper we are talking about tonight, but specifically the reporting from the Washington Post. Take us through what you know about the president telling his chief of staff, Mick Mulvaney, a week before this phone call with Ukraine's president to put a hold, you report, to put a hold on military aid to Ukraine.
Right. So in this case, I mean, this is money that is controlled under normal circumstances by the Department of Defense and the State Department, and in this case, Trump asks his chief of staff, who is also acting as head of the OMB, to hold that money back, to prevent it from being released to Ukraine. White House officials were telling us today that was because of concerns about corruption, and, you know, I guess, you know, one of my reactions when we heard that was that under what other circumstances has this administration made battling corruption one of its signature issues? I mean, this is not exactly an administration that has made that a core priority.
Does your reporting suggest at all that you say that the White House is suggesting that this had to do with corruption concerns? Does the reporting suggest that Trump was at all more specific with Mulvaney or more specific in the administration about this being directly related to Joe Biden's son?
I mean, that's the question that everybody's asking, and I'm not sure we have gotten to the truth with that yet. I think that what's important is to look at that call, that July 25th call, at the center of a broader series or collection of events, of course, in which the Trump administration is withholding not only this money, roughly $400 million, but is withholding the prospect of a meeting for much of the new president of Ukraine's early tenure, refusing to meet with or talk with him until this late July phone call. And you have, at the same time, the president's lawyer really freelancing diplomatically and much more directly and explicitly prodding the Ukrainian government to restart an investigation that they hoped would bring political dirt on the Biden family.
Ashley, this is a White House, a Trump White House, that is used to being under siege. There, of course, was that 2.5-year saga with the Mueller investigation culminating in the Mueller report, Mueller's testimony recently. There have been a million other controversies, flare-ups, moments when the White House has been forced to defend a comment from the president, an allegation against the president, these sorts of things. How is the White House regarding the development in the last 24 hours, specifically relating to Democrats in impeachment? Do they view this as par for the course, or do they view this as something different?
So the impeachment development is quite new, but sort of just first generally speaking, and this is not everyone in the White House and in the president's orbit. There are some people who are concerned, but there is a sense that this is potentially can be spun as positive for the president if he can take this issue, and this is his skill set, and it involves his trademark shamelessness, but take this issue and make it less about him, less about what he did or did not do or say, and use that media spotlight to focus on Biden and his son in Ukraine. And again, you said in the intro of the show that there is no evidence that there was any wrongdoing there, but that has not stopped Trump and his allies. We saw this for the past 24 hours of trying to say that Biden and his son did something untoward, did something corrupt that needs to be investigated. So from the president's point of view, and you saw this in his public comments today up in New York, he's sort of loving this moment. That said, there is some concern. You know, of course, there was the concern that this could lead to impeachment. That's what we're seeing tonight, at least one step closer. We'll know more after that meeting tomorrow. That's a problem, in part because you see how the president reacts. It's often quite erratically and making a problem worse for himself when he does feel under threat, when he does feel under assault. So that's the issue. And there's also the risk that as they're trying to shine the spotlight on Biden and his son, that this narrative of the president yet again potentially asking a foreign country to intervene to help in an election, help with the political foe, is not a narrative they want to harden in the public consciousness.
Anita, a version of the same question to you. The status quo, par for the course, whatever you want to call it, for the last 2+ years when it's come to Republicans on Capitol Hill and this president has generally either been to defend him or to say nothing, to keep quiet. In terms of what you're picking up on and how they're processing what's going on right now, do you expect more of the same or something different here?
Well, I think that they do, the worry that they have, and as Ashley said, some people aren't worried, right? Some people aren't that concerned. But the worry that they do have is that more moderate Republicans are going to go away from them, that they're going to lose.
And let's see, this is live. Let me go on live on TV, okay? Let's see if this works, all right?
Okay.
This is happening
now. I really don't understand. Okay, so what? Joe Biden's son works for a gas company over there in Ukraine? So what?
Well, they think that he did corruption thing. They wanted to get rid of the prosecutor in Ukraine and for his own sake. Well, he's trying to flip the Mueller report on Biden and son. But before Mike gets in here, let me here. This is going on right here, so you can hear it a little bit more. Okay. Hopefully, you can hear it on the TV live. Because there's a lot of stuff happening here. Here you go.
Okay.
Let me play it. So this is what's going on live. It's on the TV. Here we go. MSN.
That wraps up this very important hour. I'm Stephanie Ruhle. I'll see you at 1. Coming up right now, more news of the one and only...
Can you hear it?
Yeah, I can hear it.
No kidding, an extraordinary morning, and we've got special coverage of it for the next hour, live from New York, which is where my job covering the president is bringing us, as he brings his brand of America First to the world stage in just a matter of minutes. But his political future may not hang on what he's about to address, Iran, North Korea, China, Afghanistan. Instead, it's Ukraine, with the ground shifting back home on impeachment. Some Democrats now calling this a tipping point, including one lawmaker live with us in just a minute, furious the president appeared to be asking a foreign power for help investigating a political rival. Here's the president arriving at the UN just a minute ago.
That was a perfect call.
Guys, I need... So what is different? What makes today unlike all the other days that Democrats have been mad? The new twist, a new tone from the most powerful woman in politics. With our NBC News team reporting, Speaker Nancy Pelosi is calling confidants to talk about maybe taking a more aggressive position on impeachment. A key meeting is happening at 4 o'clock this afternoon. And in the last 24 hours alone, just in the last day, you've got 15 more Democrats coming out in favor of impeachment. 7 others, more moderate Democrats, signaling they're as open to it as they've ever been because of what the president has done. Absolutely a threat to our democracy. Absolutely just chilling in the depth and breadth of these allegations. So yes, the ground is shifting, but we do not know where it may settle. We could get some clear indications today. We're asking a member of Congress who will be in the room when that impeachment discussion goes down. We've got new reporting from inside Trump world and the halls of Congress from our NBC News team, and the smartest analysis from the country's leading experts on foreign policy as the United Nations General Assembly waits and watches for President Trump. Jeff Bennett is on the Hill. Kristen Welker is over at the UN. And Jeff, let me start with you, because this is a day that in the eyes of many Democrats feels different than the days that came before. Explain.
That's right. And here's what's different, Hallie. In just the last, 24 hours, 12 hours, in fact, we've learned that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has been surveying members of her caucus, talking to House Judiciary Chairman Jerry Nadler, talking to House Intelligence Chairman Adam Schiff, to get a sense of whether the president's phone call with his Ukrainian counterpart represents a tipping point. And the sense seems to be among Democrats that, yes, it is, if, in fact, President Trump tried to press a foreign power into the service of his re-election campaign. So as you mentioned, House Democrats are set to meet here at 4 o'clock later this afternoon. This is a members-only meeting, which suggests that this is significant and the matter is urgent. So as I stand here and talk to you, you have the majority of the House Democratic caucus, 150-plus members, who are now coming out in support of impeachment. And one of the reasons why Nancy Pelosi had been resistant to even pursue this avenue is because of those vulnerable House Democrats, many of whom won districts in 2018 that Donald Trump won in 2016. But now we are seeing some of those very same members themselves throw off their reluctance entirely, including those seven who you mentioned who wrote that op-ed that appeared in the Washington Post overnight, where they said that impeachment would be an appropriate remedy if the president did what he is accused of doing. And we have some sound from one of those members, Congresswoman Alyssa Slotkin, who was on Morning Joe this morning.
While it may be a controversial issue, when you look at the facts and you look at this specific instance, I think this is a total game changer. I think it's something new. And I think that they understand that I have to move with my conscience, as we all did.
So this is an instance where you have Democrats all reading from the same hymn book for the most part. And again, the thing we're looking for is what comes out of this meeting at 4 o'clock and then what happens on Thursday. We talked about that before, where the acting DNI, Director of National Intelligence, is set to appear here. Nancy Pelosi has already drew that line in the sand. She says if the Trump administration doesn't turn over that whistleblower complaint in question, that then represents a new chapter to all of this. But this will certainly be, Hallie, a watershed week as it relates to this overall impeachment question.
Well, one way or the other, right? It seems like Democrats are going to get some clarity as to where the House Speaker stands. I want to show our viewers here a live shot of the Senate floor, because we expect Chuck Schumer to take the floor any minute and talk about calling for that whistleblower complaint to be released. You can see some of the speeches from the other side of the aisle starting now. We're watching that. And, Kristen, we're also watching, of course, in just about, I think, 11 minutes or so, President Trump set to take the stage to deliver this address to the United Nations General Assembly. And here we are, Kristen, yet again, a year after the last General Assembly, with the cloud hanging over President Trump of what he did or did not say to a foreign power about a political rival. This is inescapable for him here.
The parallels are remarkable, Hallie, and of course you and I were here last year when he was getting tough questions about the Russia investigation, and here we are this year. Every availability, he's getting pressed by reporters about what specifically he said to the president of Ukraine. Now, overnight, there was a big development with the Washington Post reporting that the president directed aid to Ukraine to be suspended effectively a week before he had that phone call in question. So President Trump was asked about that just moments ago. He didn't deny it. Instead, he said those funds were ultimately fully paid. He called his phone call with the leader of Ukraine perfect. But again, Hallie, this is a cloud that has been cast over this UN General Assembly. And of course, the big issue is impeachment, as Jeff just mapped out. More and more Democrats calling for it today. So what does President Trump think about that? Take a listen.
I think it's ridiculous. It's a witch hunt. I'm leading in the polls. They have no idea how they stop me. The only way they can try is through impeachment. This has never happened to a president before. There's never been a thing like this before. It's nonsense. And when you see the call, when you see the readout of the call, which I assume you'll see at some point, you'll understand. That call was perfect. It couldn't have been nicer. And even the Ukrainian government put out a statement that that was a perfect call. There was no pressure put on them whatsoever. But there was pressure put on with respect to Joe Biden. What Joe Biden did for his son, that's something they should be looking at.
Now, of course, Hallie, as you know, based on conversations inside Trump world, some of his allies think impeachment would actually embolden him heading into the 2020 campaign, but it's not clear that President Trump would want to be slapped with the I word. So what are we anticipating to hear from President Trump? Well, his focus when he takes that stage is going to be on the foreign policy crises and challenges that he is facing, everything from Iran to North Korea. Mm-hmm. But as he holds bilateral meetings throughout the day, Hallie, you can expect more tough questions about Ukraine.
Kristen, I want you to stand by, if you don't mind, where you are outside the United Nations. We're going to come back to you before the president begins speaking, but I want to bring in now Congressman Jerry Connolly, Democrat from Virginia, one of the now 153 House Democrats in favor of starting impeachment proceedings. And Congressman, I say that because in just the last 6 minutes from the time this show went on the air to now, yet another one of your Democratic colleagues has come out calling for a start to an impeachment inquiry. Do you believe we are at a tipping point?
Yes, absolutely.
Why?
Because the Ukrainian incident here is not normal. It is really a stunning development where the President of the United States has engaged in extortion. I'll withhold $250,000 worth of military aid, and you will, you know, accede to my request to give me political dirt on a prospective political opponent. That is way beyond the pale, and for those who are sitting on the fence or not sure, I think absolutely this is the tipping point, and I think you're going to see overwhelming, certainly Democratic, response to those developments by calls for impeachment, and I think our caucus today will probably go there.
Do you believe that impeachment at this point is inevitable?
I do. I believe this president has engaged in an abuse of office that is unique in the history of the United States. It cannot be tolerated. And the consequences of doing nothing, of not impeaching him, are essentially to tell future presidents there is no limit, there are no boundaries.
You mentioned the caucus meeting that's happening later on this afternoon, a significant one, staff only, with Nancy Pelosi, the House Speaker, to discuss impeachment. What does she need to say to her caucus, and what do you need to say to her if, as you hope, you get her to shift her stance?
I think Nancy Pelosi has played a very important role in reminding members not to rush into something, to make it methodical, to be studious, to remember the public and bring them along, try to find Republicans who might share our concerns and do it in a very careful way. That is a proper role for the Speaker, a word of caution and prudence. But we're now beyond that. What's happened with the Ukraine call to the newly elected president of the Ukraine and the extortion of withholding military assistance to a country that is still fighting Russian troops in the eastern part of its territory is a stunning development, cannot be tolerated, and I believe Nancy Pelosi wants to lead the parade, not follow it, and I think we're probably going to see that reflected in whatever conversations we have at this 4 o'clock meeting.
Recent polling shows, granted before this whistleblower complaint emerged, that only about a third of Americans actually support moving forward with impeachment proceedings. How can you be sure that this is not going to backfire on you and on Democrats?
You know, obviously that's a concern and it weighs on us. But from my point of view, this is not about the political ramifications, this or the political calculation. This is about my oath to the Constitution. And I took an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I believe the President of the United States is a threat to that Constitution and to our democratic institutions and norms, and I have an obligation constitutionally to protect the country from that.
The President, as you know, has been defiant and remains so this morning, telling reporters at the United Nations, where he's about to speak, that Democrats in the House have no idea how to stop them. Is he right?
Well, I think he's about to learn a very difficult lesson. This is a man who engages in all kinds of bravado and braggadocio and then has to back off. The Washington Post has indicated that he's lied at least 12,000 times officially since he was sworn in as president. This is not normal. And I think the country is entitled to some action by the House, and impeachment is certainly the ultimate tool we have to hold a president to account.
So do you think that today we will know where House Speaker Pelosi and the Democratic caucus stand after this 4 o'clock meeting? Is it your expectation that she will emerge from the room, you will emerge from the room, and there will be a consensus? Is that the expectation?
I would put some money on that. I don't have any special, you know, insight into how Speaker Pelosi is thinking today. But just looking at all of the tea leaves, I don't see how we come out of that 4 o'clock caucus meeting without some pretty broad consensus in the Democratic caucus that we must move forward with impeachment.
If that happens, you understand it would be a game changer here.
Yes.
And you're comfortable with that.
I think it's a necessary game changer to protect the country.
If you do move, if that happens today, and you do move forward with this impeachment inquiry, is that in effect an acknowledgement that legislative work, actual policy work in Congress, is likely to effectively stop for the next year and a half?
No, not at all. I mean, we've passed well over 100 bills dealing with everything from immigration and guns to health care. So, no, the legislative work, we're capable of doing two things at the same time here in Congress. We've already proved we've done that. The media fixation on one subject sometimes clouds the fact that we've had a pretty productive record here in the House.
Congressman Jerry Connelly,
since we took over the majority.
Thank you so much from Virginia.
My
pleasure. I appreciate it. We're going to move now over to the United Nations General Assembly, where President Trump is beginning his address. Let's listen.
Distinguished delegates, ambassadors, and world leaders, 7 decades of history have passed through this hall in all of their richness and drama. Where I stand, the world has heard from presidents and premiers at the height of the Cold War. We have seen the foundation of nations. We have seen the ringleaders of revolution. We have beheld saints who inspired us with hope, rebels who stirred us with passion, and heroes who emboldened us with courage. All here to share plans, proposals, visions, and ideas on the world's biggest stage. Like those who met us before, our time is one of great contests, high stakes, and
damn, this guy reads like crazy, like a retarded boy.
I was just thinking that horrible. Reads robustly.
Horrible. Let's let Mike Bromo in, and we're going to pause him for a little bit because Mike has something on his mind. And then we'll get back to President Dumbass and his dumbass speech. Good morning, Mike Bromo. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Good. What's on your mind, Mike?
Well, I mean, there's quite a lot going on right now. I think the thing to pay attention, I've been listening to Trump's speech in the UN, and it's bizarre.
Is it really?
But I can say, you know, not all presidents are good speakers or speak well. I mean, he's a terrible speaker, but it's just bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
It's I don't know. It's like a campaign rally without all the idiotic Trumpists in the room. And he's subdued, but whoever wrote it is a terrible writer. It's just a bad speech. But the thing to watch today is, and I want to repeat the facts of the Ukraine situation.
Sure.
Fact one. Mm-hmm. Is that the chief prosecutor in Ukraine a couple of years ago investigated what I'll call the Biden thing, involving Joe Biden and his son, found no wrongdoing. That's prosecutor number one. And prosecutor number one is the prosecutor that not just the United States, but multiple countries, the European Union, the United Nations, they wanted him out of office for corruption, the prosecutor. So the Ukrainians removed him. Prosecutor two stepped in, took a second look at the Biden thing, found no wrongdoing, period. And that includes Hunter Biden and Joe Biden. All Joe Biden was doing was carrying out U.S. policy when it came to funding for the Ukraine. He was just doing what the Obama administration wanted done. He wasn't doing anything personal at all. That's been fully vetted, fully investigated. It's done. Donald Trump, there was a couple hundred million dollars due to be paid to Ukraine. On day one, Donald Trump ordered his administration to withhold that money from Ukraine, who needs it to defend against Russia. 7 days after that, 6 or 7 days after that, Trump calls the newly elected president of Ukraine, pressures him 8 times during that phone conversation to open an investigation into Joe Biden. And Trump told, and I'm going to just flat out say told, and I think when we, if we ever get the transcripts or hear the tapes, it'll be borne out, told that the president of Ukraine needed to do that in order to get the $200 million that country needed to defend against Russia, period. And I think Trump, just knowing the way Trump behaves, he just flat out said it. At a minimum, he implied it, and he'd already withheld the money. And the president of Ukraine said, I am not going to do that. Trump continued to uphold, to withhold the money until the media started reporting that there was a whistleblower out there. And from the day that the whistleblower was reported today to a couple days after, when it became apparent that the whistleblower was talking about Trump in Ukraine, boom, the money gets released. Today, the House of Representatives Democratic Caucus at 1 p.m. your time, 4 p.m. on the East Coast, is going to meet. And I think they exit that meeting and they announce that they're starting to take formal steps in the form of a formal investigation to impeach Donald Trump. I think most Republicans have been quiet in the past few days. A few have stood up and tried to defend Trump, but when they do, they're lying. They're misconstruing the facts. What I just stated are the facts. They're just not even debatable. The only if is how direct Donald Trump was in telling the president of Ukraine that he was going to withhold the money. I mean, the money was already being withheld. But how clear of a statement Donald Trump made in regard to that. Donald Trump has admitted he withheld the money today. And over the last 48 hours, he's had different excuses for why he withheld it. Yesterday, he at the United Nations, he said, I withheld it because I wanted Ukraine to investigate corruption. Well, the only thing that he's asked Ukraine to investigate is his political opponent, Joe Biden. So we're heading into new territory with Donald Trump and the things he does. But this is also something that we've never seen in American history. And I know Trump supporters will try to minimize it. I think they will. Although right now they're trying to grasp for what, not his rank and file supporters, but his supporters in Congress are trying to figure out what to say about this because it's truly bad. That is what I wanted to say this morning.
Well, you know, there is a person, I agree with you, and we're going to get into it. I'm going to do something that's kind of out of the ordinary. My girlfriend
Not you.
Yeah. We're going to do a live
By
call.
By the way,
to my...
I'm not
yeah.
feeling well today. I have a
You're
stomachache.
Not.
So don't make it worse, for God's sake.
Well, we're going to get my girlfriend live on the phone.
This is the only thing I'm doing today, by the way, is this.
Okay. We're going to get my girlfriend live on the phone for a minute. Hold
okay.
on 1 second.
Are we going to talk to her about Ukraine?
Mm-hmm.
Are we okay?
Am I on speaker?
Maybe.
Am I on speaker?
Yes, you're on speaker.
I know. I was watching President Trump. I think, what do you think about Trump? All the stuff that's going on, baby. I think he has a point, sweetheart. I don't know. Maybe four more years. What do you think?
Oh, yes. You know better.
Huh?
I said, you know better.
No, but I don't know. Every year they think they got him. But this time, going with his Ukraine holding calls, extortion and everything, I don't know. I don't know about the Democrats here, baby. But what do you think?
I think they're finally getting balls.
Yeah, well, we'll see what Nancy Pelosi does, because she's always weak and everything. But I don't know.
Yeah, I think they're getting balls.
All right. Tell Alana. Is Alana there? Can I say hello?
You're on speaker. Oh,
hi, Alana.
Hi.
Hi, Alana. Okay, Alana, I'm going to send you Make America Great Again. I love Donald Trump. What do you think?
She wandered away from me, baby.
Yeah. She's digging rocks?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The drainage rocks that are by the pool.
Oh, okay, by the pool.
There's a bunch of, like, roots and dog hair and all of that in there. So
all right, baby. I'm going to let you go. Have a good vacation. I don't know. You know, I should send Alana a Donald Trump T-shirt. What do you think? Make America...
No.
Sweetheart?
Yeah. She would send it back to you with lots of love and affection.
I'm sure she would. All right, have a great vacation, baby.
Okay.
All right.
Bye, honey.
Bye, sweetheart. What the hell are you doing? What is going on there? What are you doing?
She's digging up rocks.
Oh, jeez. Okay. All right. I'm talking.
It's the drainage rocks by the pool.
All right, baby. Have a good vacation. You got one more week left.
Yep.
All right. What's the weather like in Florida?
Have a good vacay.
All right. Oh, my God. You know what you should do? Get a rock and...
She is a bad woman.
Baby, get a rock and throw it at her.
No.
Yes.
She's with all the rocks. She'd throw them at me.
Okay.
All right. Love you, baby.
Love you too, baby. Bye.
Bye.
Well, I thought she was going to talk more about Donald Trump. She can't stand Donald Trump.
I'm just glad, I think I said this last week. I'm just so happy to know she's a real person.
She's a real person.
Really, I'm glad you have a real girlfriend, and you don't need a tire pump to get her set up. I think that's cool.
Yeah, I kind of upgraded to a real person.
You upgraded. Oh. No, and she sounds very nice. And that's very nice.
Well, she is very nice, but she has to deal with me. So she has
to
change.
Well, I know. I was also going to say she's very tolerant.
Oh, she is. She has a patience of a saint.
Yes.
But, Mike, here's my mm-hmm. theory. We hear all this all the time. The left media is hyping this up. Yeah. But, you know, this is different. I mean, it's right in front of your face. This is extortion. For this.
It is.
And to blatantly just say... after all this shit, you know, this guy got bigger balls than an elephant. I'm not kidding you. Let's just put it the opposite. Well, no. For 2.5 years, he was denying the Mueller report of collusion and corruption.
Yeah.
And now he's finally,
he still is.
But he kind of so he kind of skated by that. And you're thinking, all right, I'm gonna do the right rein. I'm gonna be a good guy. And you go right back in blatantly
after
the foreign government
the
to meddle in our election and dig up dirt.
Yeah. He did it the day after.
I know.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But my point of it is, I'm not mad at Donald Trump because he's a moron. And I can't be mad at a moron. Here's what's getting to me. You know, we can go out what a doofus he is and how stupid and incompetent, blah, blah, blah. He's him. What gets me is his Pelosi. And like the guy said, I played a tape earlier.
Yeah,
you're
going to
have
that.
A meeting today.
I did hear it. Yeah.
And if she doesn't come out from that meeting and say, we're starting an impeachment proceedings, or if she comes, Mike, what do you think is going to happen? How would you feel about that? Because I'm worried about her. She's so weak, and I don't like her strategy. What do you think?
Well, here, the one thing I would say, I'm not sure she's weak, because she has real firm control over the House of Representatives, over the, well, the Democrats for sure, and by extension, the House of Representatives. And she's a very calculating person. I want to say I've never been a huge fan of Nancy Pelosi. And I can get into the why, and it's kind of strange reasons why. But what I, you know, she has, in my mind, I agree with you overall, though. She has two focuses. One, she has her constitutional duties. And two, she has she wants to keep the Democratic majority in the House. And I think for the sake of the country, I think, it's good to have divided government right now. It's putting at least some brakes on the worst inclinations of Donald Trump and the Republicans right now. But having said that, I have taken issue, and I think the one thing we do definitely agree on is that she needs to focus on her constitutional duty. And
right.
I think Donald Trump has committed multiple impeachable – I mean, they said this before. They impeached Richard Nixon for lying to Congress – or excuse me, lying to the American people with obstructing justice and withholding things from Congress. Those were three of the primary articles. And Donald Trump's done all of those, multiple
times. And more.
And now we add,
and more.
And now we add this, the Ukraine thing. So, I jumping ahead to this afternoon, and in a few hours, the Democrats are going to start meeting. Several hours to start meeting. And I think what comes out of that meeting will be a press conference with Nancy Pelosi and the various chair people of House committees, and I think there's going to be an announcement that they are proceeding with a formal impeachment inquiry. I think they use the word inquiry, but that in the end will be one step from voting for impeachment. I think the House will vote ultimately to impeach Donald Trump. They need the Democrat. What Nancy Pelosi's concern has been, are when it comes to the political side of it, are the 20 some Democrats, maybe a little bit more, that were elected in districts that Trump won. And there's two things I'd say about that. One thing is she can lose 17 Democrats. 17 Democrats can vote no against impeachment, and it will still pass the House.
Right. Exactly.
And yes. And I think it's a few more than 20 districts, but let's just say it's 20 districts. Of those 20 districts that Trump won, I think the Democrats have, and Pelosi and her team, have wizened up a bit and done polling specifically in those districts. And I think they're finding in some of those districts that Donald Trump wouldn't win those districts if the election was held today. So I think those two things, that there is some breathing room amongst the Democrats. She can let some Democrats vote against impeachment. And I'm intentionally saying let, because I get how she comes across sometimes as weak. I thought that too. But she runs the House and her caucus, the Democrats, with an iron fist. And if she were to buckle down and say, you need to vote this way, almost every Democrat would do it if she did that. When push came to shove, but she has room to let some Democrats off the hook, if you will, so they don't have to vote for impeachment if they're facing a tough reelection. And I understand why she wants to do that, because you don't want to lose the House and you don't want to lose an impeachment vote against Donald Trump. If I can add one more thing to talking about a friend of mine, I'll mention her name, Sybil Romley. She's actually in Scotland right now, so I don't think she's probably listening. Sybil is the producer of the play with Hedy Lamarr, who and I have to bring this up every show, who you had the actress on, and she's never been the same since. That was a joke.
Oh, yeah. My favorite actress.
And I will ask, and I will ask her back today. But anyway, she sent me an article in the Atlantic magazine. I forget who wrote it. I wish I could give him credit, but I want to give her credit for sending it to me. And it was a well-written, sober, serious article about Donald Trump. And, you know, and it made the note that, you know, none of us from afar can officially diagnose Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing you can tell, but, you know, you can tell to some degree that mm-hmm. people might be laboring under mental health issues based on their conduct. And that's a fair statement. You can. You can sometimes tell when a person's depressed. You can sometimes tell when a person has anxiety. Anyway, this writer said, you know, Donald Trump has and I don't think he went so far as to, you know, to actually say he has narcissistic personality disorder, but he said Donald Trump is a narcissist. And if you want to understand Donald Trump, you have to put what he does within the prism of narcissism. And the bottom line of that is no matter what he does, in the end, it's going to be to enhance, in his mind, to enhance himself, to celebrate himself might be the best way to put it. For example, he was at the United Nations. He said, Donald Trump's foreign policy has been a disaster, from the trade war to repeated failures in North Korea. Everything about it's a mess. And he's totally disliked amongst our allies, and that is not an understatement, nor is saying he's totally disliked his wife. He actually sat at the time in the United Nations yesterday and said he deserves to have the Nobel Prize, the Nobel Peace Prize. Well, he doesn't. He's not going to get it. But that does.
Yeah.
That is illustrative of a man who has a problem with narcissism. And this author takes it a step further, and he says, if you want to try to deal with Donald Trump, you're going to have to deal with it within the prism of his narcissism. Now, how you deal with a narcissist, I have no effing idea. But
okay,
that's my long answer with an addition to your question.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
I think you're right, but I think – I'm going to have to look up narcissism because I think I'm a narcissist, to tell you the truth. But
you may
I,
be.
I
don't know.
I belong to
you're
the
You're not like Donald Trump. I can tell you. You're not like Donald Trump. Let me tell you
why. No. I don't believe he is. I think this is a man that is really unsure of himself. This is a man.
But I think narcissists are. I think narcissists are, though.
You think
anyway,
they are?
Go ahead. I think so.
You think
I think narcissism. I think narcissism. Yeah. Oh, I didn't mean to cut you off. But I think narcissism. And now I'm playing psychologist. But I think, and I've read a little bit about it. I think narcissism sometimes develops from a weak ego, a weak sense.
Could
of
be.
Self. I think that's possible. I think we might. Yeah, because it's somewhat of. We all have defense mechanisms. I mean, my defense mechanism on your show, when your callers call in and call me names, is for me to lose my shit. That's my defense mechanism. So. But
I don't call you names. I don't call you names.
No, I said your callers.
Oh, the callers.
Callers
are brutal. They show no mercy.
Awful.
Oh,
and I have a stomach ache today, so I have a stomach ache today. So, Ellen, no callers, or you're going to be hearing me thrown up on the air.
Well, we have a couple of callers, but they don't want to answer. I have to say this. If you do have something you want to say, all you have to do is press the number 1 on your dial. It'll raise the little hand in our studio, and we'll go right to you. If you don't
Can
want to
I
talk,
we
will honor that.
I want to do that. I'm going to do that.
Brian.
Yes, kiddo?
I said Arkansas Mike is in the studio.
I see him, and I want him in. Hold on, Mike. Let's let Arkansas Mike in here because this is
yes.
This is a brutal time, and if Nancy Pelosi
times.
If Nancy Pelosi does not come out with impeachment words, I think I don't know what else can happen. I mean, all this is in our faces, and if the Democrats do not act now, she's in a lose-lose situation. She's going to lose if she doesn't act. She's going to lose if she doesn't act. All those people are going to lose their seats because they put them there to make sure everything's okay. They voted for these people that say, let's control him. You have the House. We give it to you to see what you can do. If Nancy Pelosi does not act upon this, the Democrats are dead. Arkansas Mike, good morning, sir. Your thoughts?
Good morning to all of you.
Good morning.
I went ahead and posted the phone call that I made yesterday. And as a matter of explanation, everyone that's a citizen of the United States that's a registered voter, you only have three constitutional officers that are responsive to you as an individual. Those three are, and there's only three. Those three are your U.S. representative for your district and your two state senators. As such, even though we have lots and lots of discussion and debate and rhetoric and verbal this and verbal that, you really do not have any other recourse as an American citizen for your government to be responsive to you until you call or email those three elected officials, because they are responsive to you and your voice, and that's your only voice. It doesn't matter that you stand on the street corner and yell. It doesn't matter that you post on social media. It doesn't matter that you're interviewed on TV. None of that matters. The only thing is a constitutional protected right that you have to express your opinion or your directive is your U.S. representative and your two senators, three people. I have been one, as we have discussed before, and like Brommel has discussed before. I have been one that has actually slow walked on the impeachment proceedings against Trump, even through the Mueller report, even through the obstruction of justice, and even through that, I have not one that has put my constitutional protected right. I have not made those phone calls until yesterday. The reason that I did it yesterday is because I understand that in United States founding documents of our Declaration of Independence, of our Constitution, of our U.S. laws, of our processes, everything that we have is based on English common law. And under English common law, there is a distinction between what is called ethics and what is called morals or morality. Morality is your Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not type stuff. That's morality. Under English common law, you cannot legislate morality. A good example that just came out is Jeff Bezos cutting off Whole Foods workers from their insurance. It was only 1,900 people. Yes, he's a billionaire. The morality clause of that should be everybody saying, well, gosh, he shouldn't do that. Those people should have that. The ethics side of it, which means it's legal for him to do it, is he doesn't have to, because legally under the law, he doesn't have to pay them insurance. The ethical man looks up the law. The moral man knows the difference. In none of our U.S. laws are there morality. Only in, you cannot have morality. You cannot legislate morality, period. If you legislate morality, you are the Taliban. If you legislate morality, you are under religious law. The only place, there is only one exception in all of American democracy that has a fundamental, one singular moral code, and that is in the impeachment clause of the United States Constitution that basically says, thou shalt not abuse the power of your office. Nowhere else, everything else under, whether it's been, you know, whether it's Jeff Bezos cutting off insurance, whether there's, you know, it doesn't matter. Everything else in the United States is ethical based. It's the ethical base. It's what, you, Brian, it's what you and I were talking about with Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown sent text messages over to, well, okay, if you read those in an ethical based word for word, hey, you have cute kids, I hope nothing happens to them. In an ethical based, you cannot legislate morality because that's a singular sentence. But when you do, that's ethically, he could send that text. It violates no U.S. law. The morality code says, oh, but if you use that same sentence with inflection, hey, oh, you got some cute kids there. I hope nothing happens to them. That's morality. That's intent. That's the intent to do harm. That's the difference. So you cannot, in U.S. law, legislate morality. It's only ethical, except for the one exception. Thou shalt not abuse the power of your office. And that is what Trump crossed by extorting the president or any. I mean, it didn't matter who, but specifically it was the government of Ukraine to get their constitutionally protect, constitutionally directed funds and say, only for my personal gain will I release these funds. That's the only place in American law where morality is explicit. You cannot do that. That is personal gain, and that's what he crossed.
I agree, Mike. I agree. And going on, I'm not in the studio. Hold on 1 second. Ellen, go back to 515. See if the person is the person a female or a male, Ellen?
Oh no, they're not talking.
They're not talking at all. 515
in Mexico. 515 in Mexico, if that helps.
Mexico? Really?
New Mexico.
The state
New Mexico
is 515.
New Mexico. 515, Ellen's coming to you one more time. We would love to hear your voice. It's your prerogative to just listen to the show. That's cool, too. But she can come to you one more time to see if you have anything to say. You know, we're going to go on. We've got 29 minutes. We're going to go quickly on Mike Nell's, Arkansas Mike's page. And Mike, bro, please comment on as I read this, because you're going to comment on your bro, Mike, Arkansas Mike. I love what he
said. And Brian, look at my comment under Wanda's comment, and that's where I wrote the explanation. Okay.
I did. Here's Arkansas Mike.
If you disagree with it, please let me know, but that's my personal view.
Sounds good. And Mike Bromo's going to critique you, and he'll comment on you. Here you go. Mike Bro, this is what Arkansas Mike said. He went to D.C. office. And the D.C. office says, good morning, Representative Crawford's office. How may I help you? Mike said, good morning. This is Mike, Arkansas Mike, from Arkansas County in Eastern Arkansas District 1. My zip code is blah, blah, blah. Please add my name to the list of those that support opening a full impeachment inquiry into the actions of the President of the United States. This is not a position I take lightly, but in the light of the events of this past week, I believe that the United States House of Representatives must do their constitutional duty. I am a rancher, a farmer, and I am a registered Democrat, and this is not an issue, but I have previously supported. But Congress must uphold their oath to defend our Constitution. So the D.C. office said, okay, I have you down. Is there anything else I can do for you? Arkansas Mike, not unless you want to talk policy. You did hear me say I am a rancher, right? But otherwise, no, ma'am. Thank you for your time and have a blessed day, which is very cute. Now, when you put yourself out there on Facebook, you got to prepare. You got to have moron insurance. If you don't have moron insurance, you're out there by yourself. And moron insurance is a thick skin. Your skin has to be like a lizard and like a belt. So, of course, there's going to be, you know, he got 52, which is great. 52 people responded. I'll just give you a couple of them. There's one person, her name is Diana Haston Wagoner. And she wrote back, not on topic, but anyone know if Sarah Huckabee, wait, no, that's not the one I want to read. Not on topic, but anybody know Sarah Huckabee. So we're going to go and talk about Sarah Huckabee. This person's name is Gail Raspberry. I got a political survey phone call last night asking for my, okay, so that's local. I'm still going to, there's some people here. Wanda, did you say Wanda? I like, here's what Wanda Lynn Young said to you, Arkansas Mike, which is very flattering. Your opinion matters greatly to me. I have been seesawing back and forth on the impeachment thing. As bad as I have wanted Trump gone, I understand what impeachment does to a country, and it's a very hard thing to go through. I remember, I know she's going to refer to it, I remember the impeachment of Bill Clinton. And she goes on and on and on and on. And she wants, and helping to save democracy, to do up political dirty work. So Mike replied to her, the two terms that govern our laws, our Constitution, our founding documents, even the very heart of our democracy, of any democracy, are ethics and morals. None of our us laws, none of our us laws. You might have typoed that, buddy. None of our... You, oh, I'm sorry.
US
that's me
laws.
Reading it. None of our U.S. laws.
U.S.
Excuse
laws.
Me.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the morning. Don't try to trick me, buddy. Nor Constitution. Nor any other documents are based in morality. You cannot legislate morality, period. With one huge exception, the only place in America democracy that has a moral code is the impeachment clause of abuse of office. This is a singular moral code that thou shall not, morality, that's what Trump appears to have crossed. Thou shall not, to, is not found anywhere in our laws, our processes, our constitution, etc. That's the base of my decision to move past just a verbal rhetoric and a public condemnation of verbal discourse.
Condemnation.
Yes.
You know what? I'm going to choke you. Our next segment is hashtag what happened to Ellen. Thank you, Ellen.
You're welcome.
Condemnation.
Your
no, you're good, sweetheart. Condemnation. I'm going to condemn you. Slip it on. Of verbal discourse. It is my it's my constitutional duty as a citizen and a voter to put action ahead of words. And our only constitutional recourse is to place the call that I describe. I know your decision will be your personal one, as was mine, and I support what you decide to do or not to do equally. Very good, Mike. One person said, thanks, Mike. It's time for you put people in motion. It's time we all called our House representative. Great job, Mike. That's Mike putting things in motion. Okay, we only have a little bit minutes here. God, only 23 minutes. Okay, what we're going to do is Trump was going back and forth, and he did not want to admit that that call was about Biden or Hunter or Biden's son, Hunter. So he put his bulldog, this dog does not hunt, Rudy Giuliani. I want you guys to respond. He was on Cuomo the other day. This was yesterday.
Two days ago.
And he put his foot in. He screwed up because he admitted it. Because this is when Trump said something, you know, he was him and humming about the call. But Giuliani outed Trump in this interview that he actually admit that Trump was talking about Hunter. Here's the call. It's I'm only going to play like 6 minutes of it, and then we'll reply to it. Here we go.
Investigate Joe Biden. No, actually, I didn't. I asked the Ukraine to investigate the allegations that there was interference in the election.
Did you ask the Ukraine to investigate Joe Biden?
No, actually, I didn't. I asked the Ukraine to investigate the allegations that there was interference in the election of 2016 by the Ukrainians for the benefit of Hillary Clinton, for which there already is a court finding.
You never asked anything about Hunter Biden. You never asked anything about Joe Biden.
The only thing I asked about Joe Biden is to get to the bottom of how it was that Lutsenko, who was appointed, dismissed the case against Antac.
So you did ask Ukraine to look into Joe Biden?
Of course I did.
You just said you didn't.
No, I didn't ask him to look into Joe Biden. I asked him to look into the allegations that related to my client, which tangentially involved Joe Biden in a massive bribery scheme.
Rudy.
Not unlike
Rudy.
What he did in China.
Rudy.
You explain to me how the kid got $1.5 billion
from China. I have no problem
when Joe
with
Biden
you launching allegations. But just be careful about what you say. I asked you, did
I
you
am
ask Ukraine to look at Joe
I
Biden?
Said.
You said no. Then
I
you went on to say that you did. That,
no,
all,
I didn't
all
say
recorded.
That. What
Rudy.
I said was this. I asked them to investigate the allegations that relate to the false charges against the President of the United States. Those allegations tangentially involve Biden.
So your
getting
answer
the,
should have
let
been
me
yes.
finish.
Did the President talk to the Ukrainian President about what he wanted done with Joe Biden and what he wanted done with Paul Manafort?
I have no idea. I never asked him that. I don't know if he did, and I wouldn't care if he did. He had every right to do it as the President of the United States. He had every right to say to the Ukrainian President, we have two outstanding allegations of massive corruption. And
did he ask you to do what you were doing?
No, I did what I did on my own, and then
really?
I told him about it afterwards because I'm his lawyer and I know how to investigate.
So you never talked
to
him about it before. You only talked to him about it after.
3 months after I found out about it, and then I found out that it was true by getting signed, sworn statements from five people in the Ukraine who said that we were brought into the White House, the Obama White House, and we were told, go dig up dirt on Trump and Manafort in January of 2016. You have no idea how big this is because you're blinded. You're blinded by your prejudice.
Give me the affidavits. I appreciate it.
I'm not
going to
give you the affidavits.
Why not?
Give them in court. I'm not going to give them to you. Who are you?
I'm a journalist. You keep saying
the FBI.
Hold on, Rudy. Rudy.
You can't indict anybody.
You want to say I won't cover it because I'm like this, right, you say?
Oh, man, when I
now you won't give me the proof.
Show, I'm not going to give you proof. What can you do? You can't indict anybody. Believe me. The proof is in the right hands.
The president's personal attorney, spending nearly half an hour obfuscating, spinning, avoiding.
There you go. Well, that's breaking news, is that the president of Ukraine said that President Obama's administration went to Ukraine to ask to dig up dirt about Donald Trump. Here's what's wrong with that. Donald Trump was not even a candidate at the time. Why would Obama administration
go to
Ukraine?
Yes,
Brian.
Everything that spewed out of Rudy Giuliani's mouth, and I hate to be, say everything, but as near as I can tell, everything that spewed out of his mouth was a lie. It just was all false. And I think, the thing with Rudy Giuliani, I don't know what has gone wrong with him, but, and I know people, he was controversial when he was mayor of New York, but, he accomplished things as mayor that quite a large segment of the population give him credit for. And post 9/11, he did, he did a good job when it came to leadership. And if you look at videos of Giuliani in 2001 and then watch these interviews now, I don't know if, when he was a baby, his mom kept dropping him on his head and he's had a very delayed reaction to that. But something has gone wrong with Rudy Giuliani. But that was just a wave of falseness in that interview, and I watched that interview live, and I was like, what the hell? But you know what? Every time they send Rudy Giuliani out and he spews out this stuff, there are going to be Trump supporters in the population who are like, this is it. This is the truth. What Rudy Giuliani just said is the truth. How you can figure out what he even said is beyond me. Half the time, I don't even know what the hell he's talking about. But so you got that going on, and then he leaves everybody so confused, and people on television, on the radio, local shows, national shows, we're all talking about it. So, you know, and it really muddies the water. And if you're a fish, I guess, like Trump, a fish in a pond and you want to be hidden, throw another fish in the pond that's going to muddy up the water and they're not going to even be, see you. So, you know, I just shake my head. When Rudy Giuliani, you see his face pop up on television, I think it's fair to say just assume it's going to be a bunch of lies and insanity.
On some level,
I suppose it's kind of entertaining watching a person completely lose it on national television.
But, you know, again, I'm just so confused, and help me out here. Maybe I didn't understand it.
Yeah.
But what he said was he went to the – of course, the president of Ukraine at the time was under suspicion of corruption. But anyway,
well, there was
he said that
– when he went, it was president number one. And then there's a brand new president now. So, yeah.
Okay.
Correct what you just said. I just wanted to delineate the fact that they have a fair – when Donald Trump started making his phone calls, the president was new. He was new in office.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But I'm still confused. Why would Giuliani go to Ukraine, he says 3 months ago, whatever, and dig up dirt about the Obama administration trying to find dirt on Donald Trump? It makes no sense. Donald Trump is the president of the – doesn't he realize he's the president now? He made it? And nothing came to fruition with that. But let me – my head is hurting on that one. Let me go to you. Here's an exit question. An exit question I want to ask you. Ukraine is in between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah.
They know that Donald Trump may possibly lose 2020.
Yeah.
And if they continue this lie and build this up, remember, this is military money that's owed to them. Congress is money that's owed to them. They're in a war right now.
Donald Trump has no authority to withhold that money. Yeah, correct.
Exactly. And they're in a war right now.
He has paid it. That money has been released to Ukraine at the last time.
That's right. Well, there's some more money that he needs. If I'm not mistaken, money than he.
Yeah,
but here's the situation. If you're the president now of Ukraine, what do you do? Trump is pressing you to do some extortion on Biden. Okay. But if you do it, you may go – Biden may be president in 2020, and the repercussions could be massive. If you don't do it, the soldiers are dying as we talk right now. They need rations. They need bullets. They need military. What do you do? So what do you do in that situation?
Well,
that,
I think
–
go ahead.
It's a year and a half before the election. How can they last a year and a half on that battlefield fighting the Russians, Donald Trump's favorite butt buddy, Comrade Donald, and Comrade Putin? A year and a half on that battlefield. How many people are they going to lose if they doesn't buckle down here? Or does he look for the long run and say, this guy's going to be out of office and I'll work with Biden because I don't want to burn bridges with Biden? What do you do? What do you do, Mike?
Well, I think you ought to look at it from a number of different angles. But one angle is I think the consensus amongst world leaders is probably that Donald Trump will not be president going forward, certainly after in January 2021, Donald Trump will no longer be president. I think that's probably the strategic calculation most world leaders are making, except maybe in Saudi Arabia and North Korea, but I think overall that's the calculation that world leaders are making. So I think that's out there. And the president of Ukraine, I feel badly for him. He's a young man, and before becoming president, he was a television personality. Sounds familiar, but more level-headed certainly than Donald Trump. And politics is new to him. And he's been immediately thrown into this. And I'm not aware of him making any specific statements yet about the phone calls or whatever, which is what he probably should be doing, is not commenting about it at this point. But you're right. He is, Ukraine's between a rock and a hard place. The current president between a rock and a hard place. They did have, I did see last night on television, one of the Ukrainian leaders that Giuliani referenced on that thing he did on a Cuomo show. He kept mispronouncing his guy's name, whatever. He was really kind of a strange reference. But Cuomo tracked that guy down and had him on air last night. And this gentleman was in the Ukrainian parliament, and I'm just shortcutting what he said. He said everything that Rudy Giuliani said was a lie. And so I know it's, he said, she said, but on the other hand, there's he said, and a bunch of facts that support what the Ukrainian fellow said. And I don't know what if I were the president of Ukraine, I would just be, and he has so many issues to deal with in Ukraine. I mean, there's internal political issues. They have had a problem with corruption that did not involve the Biden family. And then there's just a lot of things that are going on in Ukraine. So the president has his hands full. And the last thing he needs is to be drug into this Trump thing with the Bidens and his election and all of that. My final note about all this is I think he probably, if the president of Ukraine or the leader of nearly every country on the planet is going to hedge their bet in this election, they're hedging it for Donald Trump not being in office after January 2021, for one reason or another.
I agree. I agree.
I'm kind of surprised. I'm heavy. I used to be a thin guy when I was younger, but I'm kind of a heavy guy now. And I worry about, popping off with a heart attack or a stroke. And I'm 20 years younger than Donald Trump. And Donald Trump weighs more than I do proportionally. I mean, actually quite a bit more than me. But I'm kind of surprised the guy, the rage and all that. I'm surprised he hasn't stroked out or had a heart attack.
I agree.
There are multiple ways that I think he could not be in office. And again, now I don't want someone to interpret this as me threatening the president. I'm not threatening to, stand in front of him and scream until he has a heart attack.
Right. I hear you.
But I do think, I really question. I'm much more firm in saying Donald Trump will not be president in January of 2021. He won't be president. I always have to stop and think about it. He won't be. I just don't believe that. I believe the American people, the majority of American people are good people. They want what's best for the country, and they know that Donald Trump doesn't represent that.
That's true.
Yeah. The impeachment thing, I have no clue how that's going to – I think today we're going to hear impeachment inquiry starting now.
I
think you're going to hear that. I think so.
If we don't –
I'm not going to bet you on it, but
– Well, if we don't, those ladies are going to lose their seats, I guarantee you, because that's why they're there.
Well, I think you're right, because there is a rumbling. There is a rumbling about that, and I think that's the third thing. I know I mentioned two things, but I think you're pointing out the third thing, too, that I think Pelosi recognizes. She didn't want to jeopardize – House members in Republican districts, Republican-leaning districts, Democratic House members. But I think she also realizes now not doing something definitive about Donald Trump's wrongdoing is going to start harming some Democrats in districts that are Democratic districts. I live in a district – they used to say – I live in Denver, in the heart of Denver. And they used to – and we've my whole life – and I haven't always lived in Denver, of course, but my whole life, in God knows for how long, always have had a Democratic congressperson, congresswoman, actually, since I was a child in this district. And they used to say this was the most liberal city. I don't think it probably is anymore. There's been a lot of changes, but the most liberal city outside of Washington, D.C. So in a district like mine in Denver, it's not going to change. I mean, my congresswoman, and I'm not a huge fan of her either, for that matter, but my congresswoman could, to quote Donald Trump, she could stand on the 16th Street Mall in Denver and shoot somebody and still get reelected because people really like her and so forth. But they're not all Democratic districts are like that. Mine's kind of the outlier at the left extreme. And so you're making a good point. I think Pelosi's starting to recognize that too, that by not taking action in a more definitive way to look into the to initiate an impeachment process, she's now starting to jeopardize Democrats.
I'd say, and
people forget this, is, and I don't know if they forget it, they don't talk about it enough, Democrats don't. In 2016, there was a percentage, I don't know how many, 5, 6, 7% of Bernie Sanders supporters who were so pissed off at the Democratic nomination process that they not only sat out the general election, they voted for Donald Trump to protest what happened. I hope they regret what they did today. On some
level. Sure.
But that's still a possibility. That can I don't see that happening in large numbers this go around because I think people saw how that vote turned out. But that still can happen. So I think that's my long-winded answer, you know, chiming into what you just said too, that she also needs to focus on Democrats running in Democratic districts.
And just your constitutional duty. Forget the politics
it is.
In there.
It's
what
your
job is.
It's your job.
Do your job. Just do your job. Plain and simple.
And I think if they did their job, I truly believe this. If they did their job and they did it honorably and without so much mudslinging, and God knows I'm on this show mudslinging half the time, but I'm not. I'm also not a congressperson. I don't work for a politician anymore. I'm going to sling mud when I feel like it, for God's sake. But if they approached it honorably, if they approached it soberly, seriously.
Right.
You know, voters would say, you know, I disagree that you started this impeachment process, but I at least see you're doing your job.
That's true. On time restraint, I got to ask Mike. You're right. Just do your job. On time restraint, we're almost over. Can you believe how fast this segment goes? Because we got the fabulous Diana Dungey coming up, and we're going to and she has a great book coming out, and that's her second show. Please listen to it.
I read about the show. Yeah.
In the studio,
She's in the studio. I know, but I want to go to Arkansas Mike one time before I go to Diana Dungey. Just a quick answer, Mike, about a minute. Arkansas, because he's been holding so long. Arkansas Mike, there's a news report that Beto is now changing his views on approaching the guns legislation, and he says that guns no longer work. Is he done, Arkansas Mike? Is he gone? His career
is
over?
Yes, there is absolutely zero real stomach for the United States to confiscate or take people's guns unless they're under the procedures of red flag laws or, you know, those that are a danger to themselves or to society. And, you know, I don't know he may walk it back or whatever. I know it is not a position that is a platform or held by any other Democratic presidential candidate, nor any other candidate that I'm aware of, and you know I work with a lot of them.
Sure.
So there is no such thing as confiscation or even buyback programs. None of that is a national platform, period.
Yeah, he's done. You will not hear from him. Goodbye, Beto. Goodbye. With your foul mouth, potty mouth, saying the F word, you fucker. All right. Really quickly, 3 minutes. Diana Dungey's segment coming up. Thinking about guns, this is a woman you want to bang. Diana Dungey, everybody. Good morning, sweetheart. Diana Dungey. Diana. Miss Dungey. And as you can see, it's going to be by her talking. Diana. Going to be a great show. You see, this is how I'm giving you a preview of how the next show, Diana. Okay, she must be busy. Diana. Okay, Ellen, go to Diana.
Go to Diana.
Make sure she's okay. All right, we're coming up on Diana Dungey's show, and it'll be in 2 minutes. And the last word goes to Arkansas Mike. Oh, Mike Bromo. Mike Bromo dropped. Wow, why did Mike Bromo drop? Okay, Arkansas Mike. Well, thank you, Mike Bromo, for Politics with Mike Bro. I think he's right on. He's spot on. I can't wait to meet him at the event, February 22nd. We're going to have a lot of fun with him. And we're going to dress him up like Annie Oakley.
Yeah, Brian,
You can. Oh God, Annie, get your guns.
Yeah.
You can talk to Diana now. She had a call that she had to take.
Okay, we're gonna preview and Arkansas Mike. Thank you. We're gonna preview the next show that's coming up in 1 minute. And here's a preview. Our favorite lady, Diana Dungy. Everybody, good morning, Diana.
Good morning. Good morning. How
good
are you?
Morning. I'm good. Your segment's coming up, and we're going to talk about marriage, and we're going to talk about relationships, and we're going to talk about why men are morons. Am I correct?
Now, that'll work. Don't you put me on blast, Brian.
I will not. I will not.
I am, like my granddaughter always say, I'm shook.
Oh, is
yeah,
your granddaughter going to be listening?
That's what Eric says.
Really? No,
yeah,
I'm going to treat you with the respect that I should have for everybody else. I'll find it when you have your segment.
No, let me take that back. Let me take that back, Brian. Every time something happens to Erin, she goes, I'm so triggered right now. I'm triggered.
I know. And that show's coming up, and we're going to talk about all the relationships, what went wrong, what goes right, what's going on with men. Men have to step up. Women have to step up, too. And we're going to have a great conversation about relationship. And your new book, Diana, the name of your new book?
Marriage is a lot of work.
That's right.
When they say it, what does that mean?
Oh, we're going to find out what that means, because some men don't like to work. Some women are on welfare. We'll find out what's going on. What does that mean? Arkansas Mike, send us out on our last segment. You got 24 seconds, sir. And thank you, Diane Dungy. Your show's coming up in 1 minute. Send us out, Arkansas
right.
Mike.
Well, you all have a absolutely get down, get busy, get after it. Boogie woogie, yeah. Let's have a good time. Oh, yeah.
We got to get you
oh,
a
yeah.
woman. We got to get you a woman. Fix you up. Come on. You need to,
I don't
somebody.
Need any more. I have plenty. I don't need any more. I have plenty.
Oh, look. Look at you, Mr. Gigolo. Well, thank you, Arkansas Mike, for your dating tips. I got so many. Mr. Hugh Hefner, Arkansas Mike. We'll see you guys in our next segment. Bye, everybody, and thank you for listening to Political Talk with Mike Bromo, one of my favorite guys. Bye, everybody.